Today on the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to continue our study of David and Jonathan. We're also going to be talking about King Saul. He wanted to kill David. Quite a difference between Saul's fear of David and Jonathan's love for David. And so we're going to be looking at that lesson here in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Let's look at these old Sunday school notes. This was a lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of July the 31st, 1927. And it's about Saul's attempt to kill David. All remember that David was first sent for by Saul to quiet this evil spirit with music. 1 Samuel 16. On this occasion, he played with his hand, as he did day by day. But Saul, not being thus quieted this time, threw his spear at David, saying, "I will smite David even to the wall." Jealousy cannot bear in its sight the object that arouses it. It leads to murder. There is nothing too low or mean for it in envy to do. The Bible everywhere warns against it. David, on the alert, dodged Saul's spear and escaped. Saul was afraid of David because Jonathan was with him and was departed from Saul. It is stated more than once that Saul stood in awe of David and was yet the more afraid of him and was his enemy continually. The more wisely David acted, and the more he accomplished, the more Saul hated him. Saul saw in every act of David, David's prudence and wisdom. He saw that David grew in influence with the people, and that God was with him, and he realized more and more his own weakness. Fearing David and desiring his death, Saul removed him out of his sight and made him captain over 1,000 men, hoping he would be slain in battle. But in courage and wisdom, David led his men out to battle and returned in victory. Again, it is stated that David acted wisely in all his ways, and Jehovah was with him, while Saul stood in awe of David, hated and sought to kill him. All Israel and Judah loved him. They loved him for the very reasons for which Saul hated him, namely, because he went out and came in before the people wisely and successfully in fighting their battles and gaining their victories. Failing in the scheme above, Saul hit upon another treacherous scheme to kill David. He first promised his elder daughter, Merab, in marriage to David, upon condition, it seemed, that to prove himself valiant in flight in the Lord's battles, hoping the Philistines would slay him. But when the time came that Merab should have been given to David, she was given to another. Then, perceiving that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul promised her to him on the condition that he was, as a dowry, slay 100 Philistines, taking that most certainly he would be killed in the attempt. But David slew 200 Philistines, and Saul then gave Michal, but he was still more afraid of David. Saul's wicked plans to take David's life always turned out to David's promotion and honor. Now let me read to you 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to his servants that they should slay David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father seeketh to slay thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself in the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and if I see aught, I will tell thee. Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said to him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee were very good. For he put his life in his hand, and smote the Philistine. And Jehovah wrought a great victory for all Israel. Thou sawest it, thou didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As Jehovah liveth, he shall not be put to death. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before time. Let me return to Elam's notes on that passage. When all of Saul's schemes came up this time to kill David had failed, he said to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should slay David. But Jonathan's son delighted much in David, and Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father seeketh to slay thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself in the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee, and if I see aught, I will tell thee. Jonathan revealed to David Saul's order that he be slain. He arranged to bring about in the morning a conference between his father and David, and if possible, to effect a seeming reconciliation of Saul to David. He remonstrated with Saul that he should not sin against David, because David had not sinned against him, but on the contrary, his works had been very good toward Saul. For he put his life in his hand and smote the Philistines, and Jehovah wrought a great victory for all Israel. Saul saw this and rejoiced over it. Jonathan concluded by saying, Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? This, for the present, had its influence upon Saul, and he swore, As Jehovah liveth, he shall not be put to death. Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before time. Soon, however, another victory gained by David over the Philistines aroused again all the evil within Saul, and he sought to smite him even to the wall with a spear. But again David escaped, and the spear stuck in the wall. Saul then sent messengers to watch David's house and to slay him in the morning. But Michal, his wife, let him down through a window, and he escaped that night. David went to Samuel, to Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt at Naroth. Saul first sent messengers to Naroth to take David, but the Spirit of God came upon these messengers, and they prophesied instead of seizing David. He sent other messengers, and they prophesied. He sent still others, and they likewise prophesied. And then he himself went, and he prophesied. And they said, Is Saul also among the prophets? Let it be said here that Saul and his messengers were not made any better by the Spirit of God coming on them to cause them to prophesy. David then fled from Naroth and came to Jonathan, and like a true and brave man said, What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? Jonathan assured him he should not die, that his father kept nothing small or great from him, that he would not hide his intention to kill David from him, and that he knew it was not so that Saul still desired to take his life, David swore that since Saul knew that he had found favor in Jonathan's eyes, Saul would hide this from Jonathan, saying, "But truly as Jehovah liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Jonathan then said that he would do whatever David should request him. David and Jonathan went out to the field together and made their covenant. Jonathan called God to witness that when he had sounded his father, he would let David know if Saul intended good or evil toward him. Jonathan realized that David would succeed his father, and without a single emotion of evil, he gladly conceded this honor to David. Jonathan requested David to show unto him the loving kindness of Jehovah so long as Jonathan should live, and when he should die, not to cut off any of his house forever. This was the covenant referred to above. Jonathan had David to swear to it because of the love he had for David. David remembered this promise and protected Jonathan's family after Jonathan had been slain and had become king. To test the matter, David proposed to be absent from the king's table on the morrow at the feast of the new moon. And when he should not fail to be there, and when Saul should inquire about him, Jonathan should explain that he had asked leave to be at a yearly sacrifice for all his family at Bethlehem. If Saul should accept the explanation, then it would be well. But if he be wroth, then Jonathan would know that evil was determined against him. On the third day, in the evening, David would have returned from Bethlehem and would hide himself in the field where Jonathan could report the result. According to the covenant between David and Jonathan, David further proposed that if there had been discovered in him any disloyalty to Saul or any scheming after the kingdom, Jonathan himself should slay him and not take him to Saul. And Jonathan said, "Far be it from thee, for if I should at all know that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would I not tell thee?" Then an arrangement was made in which Jonathan could let David know in the field where he would hide himself, if Saul should answer Jonathan roughly or otherwise, so that David would know his course. This arrangement is in 1 Samuel chapter 20. I want to read about what happened according to this, beginning in 1 Samuel 20, verse 35. "And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, Run, find now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, Is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, Make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his weapons unto his lad and said to him, Go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of his place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself 3 times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of Jehovah, saying, Jehovah shall be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. That was the parting of David and Jonathan. And the next time David would hear of Jonathan, Jonathan will have been slain by the Philistines.